And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 192. Welcome. I'm your host, Silas Lindenstein of Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I'm your host today for another edition of Black and a Half Reviews. I'm reviewing two new movies. One releasing today called The Lost Daughter. It's a Netflix original film. And I'm going to be reviewing Swan Song. Just came out on Apple TV Plus. And then the third film is actually from the beginning of 2021. The film Zola. I'm reviewing this because I missed it when it initially came out, but it's likely, it has a Golden Globe nomination, at least one, I believe. And it's a really, I've been watching it for the Seattle Film Critics Society Awards nominations. We get these DVDs in the mail or screeners sent to our computer for consideration for an awards. And this was one, and it's one I had meant to see and I didn't. So I went and watched it and I thought, might as well give a review of it. So here we go. Zola. So we will, got three for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, a big thank you to our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support this program for just $1 a month, you can become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners by going to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And there you can sign up, or you can become an Inner Circle member as well for just a little bit more each month. Just a little bit more. Become an Inner Circle member like Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Join them. Come to the Black and a Half side. Yes. And also, you can go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. That would help out a lot. And of course, like, subscribe, all that. And the other thing you can do is you can listen to my other podcast, the sister podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all over the nation on how to buy a home for the most effective ways and the step-by-step process. You listen to that podcast. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I would love to help you out with that. I'm a real estate agent in the area. When I'm not reviewing films or doing stand-up comedy or making films, I am a real estate agent. So I can help you out with that. Real estate agent, boutique brokerage. So that's what we got there. Coming up soon, I'm going to be doing a top 10 films of 2021. There's still a few I'm trying to get under the belt before I do this episode, make my decisions. I've got a few days left for the Seattle Awards. I've always had a goal of watching every movie that got an Academy Award nomination, and this probably will be the first year I likely can do it. So, but I don't want to wait that long to get my top 10 list. So I plan that, and then I'm going to have end of this year, end of 2022, I'm going to have so many lists ready to go, best comedies, best, overall films. It's going to be crazy good. So look forward to that. If you have any suggestions for best films, please feel free to reach me out. Another little project I'm doing, the show, The Book of Boba Fett. The Book of Boba Fett, the new Netflix series following Boba Fett. I am doing sort of an after show. So it's me and my friend Brian Trendler from Shut Up and Laugh podcast. We are discussing each Boba Fett episode after it goes out. So that's a video cast. I was debating whether to put it on the feed here. I'm still not sure I want to do that. It's not my... Yeah, still not sure we're going to do that here, but it is there's a video cast. It's on the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel at Silas Laughs on YouTube. You can go to my Facebook and you'll see it You'll see a YouTube link to it. So check that out. It's called Bookend. It's unauthorized, unofficial, and unasked for. And it's fun. And it's really get to deep dive into Star Wars and particularly this show. So it's really niche. So you got to really be into the Star Wars, I think, to enjoy it. First episode is out. We'll have however many episodes they have. I think there's probably like 6 or 8. So we'll have that many for it and then see where it goes from there. Okay. So that's that show. And this is this one. So right now I would like you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 192, Black and a Half Reviews, Zola, Swan Song, and Lost Daughter.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
And here we go. All right. First up today, I want to discuss Swan Song. Swan Song is an Apple TV film, original Apple TV film, directed by Benjamin Cleary, written by Benjamin Cleary, starring Mahershala Ali, you know, Academy Award winner, Naomi Harris, Awkwafina, and Glenn Close. It is, let's see, it runs, it's a science fiction drama, runs 112 minutes, and generally it's set in the near future. Ali portrays a husband and father who is diagnosed with a terminal illness but is given a new solution to replace himself with a clone. So, yeah, and then further, when a loving husband and father, Cameron Turner, is diagnosed with a terminal illness, he is presented with the option of sparing his family grief by having her replaced with a clone. Turner is torn about whether to discuss the option with his wife. So here it is. It is. So near future, it's like you can tell because it's Alexa on steroids. Okay. Everything you talk to every machine, everything's a smart device. Toothpaste is a smart device. The notes that you leave, you have contact lenses that are basically virtual reality or augmented reality. Things, the cameras that are constantly going from your contact lenses. So these nice little hints at what the future's going to be like in the near future, right? So you're like, oh, we're almost there. And some of it does feel creepily accurate. Like, oh, you know what? We might really be close to that. So there's some discussion there. And so in this, cloning happens. Cloning is kind of secretly happening, and this doctor who has basically a cancer doctor, she's also invested in this company that has this ability. So she's gotten one person on before, and he would be like a second or third. So this is what they want to do. They want to replace him without telling the wife or anyone else, because she does not know. He is sick and has not told his wife. And he doesn't want her to go through the devastation of losing a husband. So he thinks, maybe I'll just have a clone replace me. So the clone gets all of his memories, right? And live life. The clone, there's a way they make it so the clone doesn't even know they're a clone. They just get all the memories and they get erased that this stuff happened. And yeah, so they don't know that they're not real. And, you know, there is a degree that I was like, is it a clone? They don't quite say clone. So like they're synthetic though? Like are they I don't know if they're actually a robot or not, but no one can tell. Now of course there's some morality questions here. Like, is that cool to not, well, just what? How do you not tell your wife that you're dying? You know, like they got to know as much grief and then to replace it. So then that means like in the future, she's like sleeping with somebody that wasn't actually her husband. Right. Or was it because it's a clone and they had the memories? I don't know. It's ethical. This is like a philosophy class. Right. So here's the strength. The strength of the film is, I mean, it's completely on Mahershala. He's fantastic in this. He is. I'm putting him down and I'm writing him as one of my nominations for best actor for it. I think it's a great relationship with his wife. It's a very nuanced performance. And I love the genre, by the way. Very nuanced. I think so that's the strength. I love the story. Love the story because it does create debate. It is a plot and story that forces you, if you're with someone, you got to talk about the ethics of this and go further into it. And, you know, just take step further. You get to have great discussions about it. I love that. And story, yeah, so much thing comes down to story for me on this that I really like about it. I would say it was an all around pretty good cast performances, right? The acting was pretty solid. The acting was solid. The writing was solid. The difficulties about the movie, I guess one thing I don't like about it is part of the story that I love. Like it was still a little hard for me to believe that someone would hide that. And so I have that problem and they do give a motivation on why he might not want to tell her, but I don't know. I don't think it was strong enough not to say why. Oh, I love the glimpse into the future. I love the glimpse in the future and what they're projecting, things that we could do, just the daily life stuff. That was really cool. And I think so. There was a lot to like about this film. There's not a lot to dislike. Okay. Awkwafina. She's been spying, man. Her career is blowing up lately. I'm torn on her because I felt a lot of her performance was a little one note. And I was having trouble deciding whether that was just her or if it was the writing or the direction in it. She plays a role in this. I don't think this spoils my, she plays someone else who was in his situation. So it's so weird. I mean, Awkwafina is a comedian, so she was, and now she's when she shows up in these serious things. It's kind of like, oh, really? Okay, you go, girl. Be all serious, like Robin Williams. Okay. So that wasn't my cup of tea, and I do tend to blame more of the writing on that. But overall, it's a worthy movie. Especially, I mean, you're watching it at home. It's an Apple TV film, so you're not deciding whether to go to the theater or not. But ultimately, films should make you discuss things, and that's what this one does. So I dig it. The lesson from the film, and this is not to say what happens in the film at all. Not giving a spoiler in any way. But I think the lesson from this is, man, you got to talk to your spouse and you need to know, like, you should talk early on and say, hey, if something were to happen, would you want me to tell you? Not because you're going to replace a clone, right? Just in general, have an idea, because that's kind of, it's weird, man. Then, okay, and yeah, and so I'd say with this film, Swan Song, I thought it was a great film to end the year on for me, nearly end the year on for me. It was the swan song of movie watching for me for the year. It is worth the price of Apple TV Plus alone for a month just to watch Mahershala's performance in this. It's a really, really good performance, and I think we might be seeing him win some awards for it. Fantastic acting. So as all of you know, that I have a 3L system for ratings for films, right? It's love it, like it, or lose it. Love it, that's that film that you got to tell people about it. You got to jump on Facebook and tell everyone about it. It was that good. Like it, general. It's a general like it. You approved of it. It doesn't even have to be a good film, right? But you liked it. You would watch that. Lose It is the film that I watch so you don't have to. Okay? So that's what I'll say on this. And then what I'm giving Swan Song is a like it. I really did like the film, so catch it out. Next up, we've got The Lost Daughter. The Lost Daughter, a Netflix new film just dropped. 2021 psychological drama film written and directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal in her feature directorial debut, based on the novel of the same name by Elena Ferrante. It stars Olivia Colman, Dakota Johnson, Jesse Buckley, Paul Mescal, just to name a few. Then let's see, runtime is 121 minutes. Filmed in the United States and Greece. It released in Venice September 3rd, in the United States December 17th. Just to run in theaters real quick before it headed over to, you know, be eligible for awards. And received acclaim from critics already. It had its premiere at the 78th Venice International Film Festival. And Gyllenhaal won the Golden Acela Award for Best Screenplay. So the premise, a woman while on summer holiday finds herself becoming obsessed with another woman and her daughter, prompting memories of her own early motherhood to come back and unravel her. So, I got feelings on this film. I got feelings. It's a mixed bag on it. She makes an impulsive decision on this she's been watching this daughter around the beach. This family comes to the beach that she's vacationing on, kind of disrupts her vacation. Her relaxing, and she doesn't move. Olivia Colman's character doesn't move when they want her to. She's like, no, it's my space. Don't you hate that? I hate it when people come in, like I'm in the movie theater and I come early and I pick my spot out, and then other people come in and they're like, hey, can you move over so we can all sit together? And I'm like, no, I was here early. You can't, and you're not, why do you need to be next to each other? It's a movie. You're all going to be watching a movie and not talking. And if you're going to talk, I'm going to cut you. Right. So you're not expecting them to be together anyway. So she doesn't move, and good. Stand up for bullies like that. Lita, that's her name. So this girl goes, and the girl gets like, okay, the daughter of one of the people, she gets lost. Suddenly they can't find her. She's not at the beach. And Lita, played by Olivia Colman here, does find her and brings her back. And the girl was out, like, she was trying to find her doll too. Like, she dropped her doll, And Lita takes the doll and hides it and keeps it in her room. And you're like, why? And then she's having these flashbacks to like when she was a young mom, and one is a flashback of her losing her daughter and running around. So this initial flashback, I'm like, did she kill her daughter? Or did her daughter die when she ran away? And that's why she took this or something. And they kept flashing back to her early life and what she did, the choices that she made. And they keep flashing back to it. And I'm keep waiting for this. I felt like there was a mystery to unsolve, but really we're kind of just examining her PTSD from being a mom and it not being what she expected and the choices that she made as a young woman, as a young mother, and whether you agree or disagree with them, or if you've been through this, maybe you'd sympathize with her. But I got to the end of the film, the way it ended, I was mad. I was infuriated because I was like, I thought there was a mystery that was going to get solved in this. And it's not. It's psychological drama. Well, it was drama. But yeah, and I guess psychological, but I'm thinking, you say psychological drama, I'm thinking someone's getting killed or something, or there's something going on here. And there didn't seem to be anything big. A little weird, but it's big. And I got so mad when this film ended. Now, man, I go back and look and think about the film, right? Olivia Colman is amazing. It is an amazing performance. She owned that character. She was nuanced and detailed, very specific. She was that character 100% through it on her side. When they do flashbacks, they had young Lita played by Jessie Buckley. So that's the early young mother. Current one, Olivia Colman. Every time she had a scene with somebody, she rose them up to her level, right? So she brought all the other actors up because she's that good of an actor. And she's also going to get a nomination from me. I'm nominating her for the Seattle Film Critics Society for best actress in a feature film. But I don't know that she'll get it. I don't know who else has watched it because it's kind of this late, very late in the award season coming out. Because we got a vote, next week. So hopefully people had a chance to watch it. But it's just a fantastic performance. You really couldn't have asked anything more from her as an actor. I think Maggie Gyllenhaal does a wonderful job. Like, look, what I didn't like of the film was the story. I just didn't like how the story, where it took me on this journey for what felt like nothing. Like, why did I kind of don't know why I watched this for 2 hours, but I could see why, like, if this was a book, maybe books are like that. But I was like, she did such a good job adapting the book that it made me unsatisfied at the end. And I mean, I think Maggie Gyllenhaal does a fantastic job directing this, especially I was like surprised this is her first film as a director. I think she does a great job with it. Very nice editing between the scenes and going back and forth. It's a well done, beautifully made movie that just didn't satisfy me in the end. It was just like, oh, that was the best movie that I didn't like, that I didn't want to do. Like, I don't want to. Like, and I wish I could say I liked it because I love Maggie Gyllenhaal. I love the actors in this film, but I still need, like, if someone else has watched this, can you tell me why, what was, and that's, I think that's the problem with it is like the lessons learned on it or maybe it's directed more to people who've had the experience of being a mom. And since I didn't connect as much with it. And it's called The Lost Daughter. Probably should have known that going into it. So, maybe it's not the film. Maybe it's me. But me isn't going to watch it again. Me isn't going to tell someone else they should watch it unless they really want to see a fine acting job. And how you capture, there's probably some notes on how to capture this kind of mood and tonality with it, as a director, maybe, but it's almost more, I'd recommend this on an academic level, not for enjoyment. So that's just me. And so it's weird. It's love the acting, love the directing. Did not care for the journey that this took me on. And I like weird stuff. Okay. This is just, I was just mad. Like, why did I sit through this? That just irritates me. So, I am going to give it a lose it for me. For me, it was a lose it. I don't want anyone else to have to go through it. So if you want, unless you're in academia and you want to study film, then watch it. But, or if you want to see Olivia Colman do a fantastic job of acting, but I mean, she's a good actor. So part of me is like, just watch her in something, I don't know, more engaging. Netflix acquired the distribution rights in more countries, including the UK. This is what, at its opening night world premiere, the movie received a 4-minute standing ovation. I don't understand. I don't, what are they standing at? I've heard sometimes those are self-indulgent, but, you know, I mean, maybe that's just it. It's a good, it's a film critics are going to like because it's done so well. And yeah, I'm a critic. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, well, I'm more of a reviewer. I'm the people's reviewer. What are the people going to like? People are going to enjoy this? Yeah. Okay, so let's just move on. Let's move on to the last film today, Zola. 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 It's funny, I think it was 2020, it actually was filmed. But it didn't come out till 2021, so I think it was a pandemic thing. Directed and written by Geniza Bravo. Written by Geniza Bravo and Jeremy Harris. Based on Zola Tells All, the real behind the story, behind the real story behind the greatest stripper saga ever tweeted by David Kushner, which was like, I believe published in Rolling Stones, something like that. It runs 90 minutes. It had a $5 million budget, and it took in $5 million. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival January 24th, 2020, and was released in the United States January 30th, 2021 by A24, following a year delay due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It stars Taylor Page, Riley Keough, Nicholas Braun, Ariel Stachel, and Coleman Domingo. I believe. Yeah, he's the guy from Fear the Walking Dead. I really dig him. He shows up and stuff. He's got the very stylized voice, so there's part of me that's always like, well, you always sound the same. But he was a little different in this. He's always got this presence about him that I really like. It's very, like, he would do almost everything he treats like he's doing Shakespeare. But then he got into this like gangster Jamaican accent in this, and that was really cool. So this is what's crazy about it. It stars Taylor Page as Zola, a part-time stripper who has convinced her new friend, played by Riley Cole, is to travel to Tampa, Florida, in order to earn some money, only to get in over her head. So Zola's friend convinces her, hey, you can, Stephanie, they meet and there's, I don't know if there's flirting, they go, Zola, okay, they're strippers. They're strippers, dancers. They dance, maybe not strippers, but they dance at clubs, like a little part. Well, Zola does part time, right? So Stephanie gets Zola to come dance with her one night. And so from there, she invites her, like, hey, let's go to Florida. Or you can go make $5,000 in a weekend down there. Like, I got a guy who will set us up and do it. And so they go on this little road trip with Stephanie's boyfriend and her friend who's supposed to set them up, turns out that the dude played by Coleman is actually, putting him on Backpage. Like this is actually like a CD, like, the woman was trying to get Zola involved in sort of prostitution, and Zola was like, no, I'm not here for that. And apparently was tweet. I don't know. I need to find exactly what the tweets were. But like, I want to read it. I want to read it. It sounds kind of amazing. Oh yeah. I'll read the details about it. So it's a wild story. It's a wild story. It is an indie movie. It feels indie. This woman who plays, Zola's really good. Zola's a good actor, but Stephanie is, she's fantastic in this. Played by Riley Keough. She, like, the transformation of an actor to the character is pretty amazing. The film does get a little risque. So if you are faint of heart in that risque department, don't do that. Don't watch it. My wife's a little, reserved, and I was playing this and she's like, what is going on? I'm like, yeah, you're not gonna, this is not for you. Okay. But it is a wild ride, and someone claims this is true. It's a true story. I don't know if it is. But the acting on point, writing on point. It is, I do think it's actually one of the best films of the year. I'm going to put it in my top 10. I'm going to nominate it as one of the best pictures. I have 10 spots and Zola's probably going to get one of them. It's an interesting story. I'm fascinated by it. I think the lesson of it is definitely know more about people before you take a road trip with them. Because anything can happen. You don't want to be away from the comforts of your home unless you know it's safe, right? So that's a big old lesson from this. Check it out. In October 2015, Detroit waitress Zola King posted a 148-tweet thread about a trip she took to Florida with a stripper named Jessica. The story contained details of prostitution, murder, and attempted suicide. Quickly went viral, garnering the recognitions from people such as Missy Elliott, Solange Knowles, Ava DuVernay. About a month later, Rolling Stones published an article interviewing people involved in the story. While the article noted several inconsistencies in the stories, and King has admitted to embellishing some of the more sensational details, most involved admitted to the general gist of the story. In February 2016, it was announced James Franco would direct the film from a screenplay by Andrew Neil, Mike Roberts. Franco, Vince, and announced in 2018 it was set to film. In February 28, but it was shelved because of sexual misconduct allegations against Franco. In June 2018, it was announced Janico Bravo would direct the film, replacing Franco. And in 2018, Taylor Page was cast in the film to play the lead role. And then they added everyone else. Production began in October 29th, 2018. Production concluded December 7th, 2018. Was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize Award at the Sundance Film Festival. Sony Pictures and Stage Six Films acquired the international rights. The film was released in the U.S. June 30th, 2021. And it's generally favored by critics. Critics really like the film. Zola was projected to gross $2 to $4 million from 1,400 screens. The film made $505,000 on its first day of release and $282,000 on its second. It went on to debut at $1.2 million. So under expectations, finishing ninth of the ball. Okay, so critical response, 88% based on 222 reviews, average of 7.6 out of 10. Yeah. I think but it's a solid film. It's got some, it's not a family-friendly film, but it is wild. It involves all those things: drugs, sex, prostitutes, and violence. So be prepared for anything and everything in this film, right? But it's got but watch it, because it has drugs, sex, prostitutes, and anything you could imagine in the film. That's another reason to watch it. Zola, that's my choice. One of my top 10 films of the year. So check it out. And that's it, folks. That's it. Another edition of Black and a Half Reviews. So I'm going to give Zola a love it. I loved it. I definitely recommend it. When you hit the acting, writing, directing combo, it's probably going to be a love it for me. God, I wish I had someone to talk to that about that film with. It could be a whole episode just on that. So, let's review what we got. We got, Swan Song is getting a Like It. The Lost Daughter is getting a Lose It, and Zola gets a Love It. All right. So we're all across the board today. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Please share this podcast, subscribe, do all that stuff. I'd really appreciate it. My name is Silas Lindenstein, and until next time, have a merry block and a half.
Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Live long and prosper.